I will take it to the day I die.
Recording in progress.
Welcome everyone to the November 9th, 2021 regular council meeting, the caucus. It's kind of just going to be maybe a little trial and error because we're doing a hybrid meeting today. Most of us are here in the caucus room. Kathleen is with us virtually, and a lot of our directors are with us virtually too. And we're going to, we have a new contraption there called the OWL, so he's going to be hopefully following whoever's talking and having pictures of them and everything. So again, this will be something we'll probably do into the new year and everything, to, as long as this pandemic thing is still around. So I welcome everyone to the caucus, the meeting. And Debbie, I guess we'll start off with you calling the roll, please.
Sure. Grindel?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Sinek?
Here.
Vavrka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Debbie, you missed me.
I'm sorry, Kapusta.
Here.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
Well, I guess I just want to welcome everyone here. It's nice to see everyone in person. We had a few meetings that we met here, but it's great to have one of our regular meetings and we're all together. And again, I want to congratulate the council person that are returning. You had a great campaign. Wish you the best of all. You've been a wonderful contributing member of this council, and you're still going to be contributing in years ahead. So, John Pedrano is here. John did very well, so we welcome you, John. Look forward to working with you too the next term. And also, I don't know if Anthony's with us virtually, but congratulate him also, and look forward to working with him in the next 2 years too with this council. I guess before we get started with the agenda, we have a motion. Mayor, I think you sent us an email, and I'll read it. It goes, as per ordinance 2010-17, you provide us a list of full-time employees requesting the buyback of unused vacation, holiday, comp time hours. And we will entertain a motion here from council to adopt this evening to approve the payout. I think, Vern, that's, you need this to make it official and everything. So do we have has everybody received this email first and foremost? I think Debbie was handing it to us. Any questions regarding that?
Well, just I'm curious because it's a combination of vacation and sick pay.
I think it's it says vacation.
Not sick.
Yeah, holiday and comp.
Holiday. Okay. All right. And basically then, is it all for all employees that have been for a full year or anybody that signed on during the year?
It's pretty much people that have enough vacation to turn in. If you just started this year, you've got very little vacation this year to begin with. So by definition, there's very few, if any. Like our Ryan in economic development, he's not on this list, I don't believe. The very new employees generally don't have enough hours to really buy back, at least not materially in the rates that you see for some of these tenured employees. Many of them are buying back anywhere 30, 24, 40 hours.
Do we know if some of these employees hold over times if they came from someplace else? I'm talking like if a new hire had X amount of weeks vacation where they were at and they came here.
Lose it where they came from and they start from scratch over here. We don't let them roll over vacation or holiday hours from another entity. Now, most public entities allow public sector employees to carry over sick hours earned in a previous public sector employer, but this that you're being asked to approve this motion tonight has nothing to do with sick hours. Those get paid out at retirement or employment departure, but this is different. I should say the comp time is, it's in this legislation that it has to be approved, but comp time is substitution for overtime, and that has to be paid either way. So there really isn't any flexibility to deny that. Either we have to pay the comp time or give them the time off.
Well, we're really just voting on education.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. We give you the that legislation from 2010 says vacation, holiday, comp time, so we give it all to you, but contractually we have to pay the comp time out anyway by federal law and contract. It's our discretion on this vacation holiday payout. It's 40 hours max this year. It was 40 hours max last year. Some years it's been as low as 24 hours. Some years ago, it was 80 hours, I believe. So it ranges depending on what's happening in a particular year.
And reading the table, Vern, the total amount that is being paid out is $82,457.29.
That's correct. I've seen that number six figures in the past when it was 80 hours of potential payout. So 82 is the number, 82,000 plus for this year, yes.
As far as the process, has each employee submitted a request to you, Vern? So this is the hours, because December is going to be a heavy vacation month. I presume they've accounted for it.
They submit it to their directors first. It's a good question. Then their director has to approve it, because if the director feels like, hey, well, in this way, they're actually going to be here on site more because they're asking for the payout. If it was the other way around, where they were taking the vacation, it could put a director in a tough spot over the holidays of getting proper staffing. But this, by definition, is kind of saying, hey, we're not going to use everything we still have available to us. So this eases the year-end scheduling that could occur.
Okay, and then I have a follow-up question. So if I'm hired in March, for instance, okay, do I accumulate 3/4 of my vacation time, or how does that work? Or if I'm hired in September, how does that work?
It depends if it's a hire in the union or a hire in the non-union position. The unions, I believe, goes right to whatever the contract says. The non-union positions are generally negotiated on a case-by-case on a basis with the mayor.
Kathleen, do you have any questions?
Nope, I do not.
Thank you. Anyone else with any questions? We'll entertain a motion. Pass this.
So moved.
Moved by Ken Sinek.
Second.
Second by Tom Narduzzi. We'll I guess, Debbie, call the roll, please.
Sure. Brindell?
Yes.
Kapusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus? Verwerka?
Yes.
Welchanowicz?
Very good. Thank you. And so the motion that was made to approve of this payout has been passed.
Thank you. Thank you, Council.
Now we'll move on to the agenda. And we'll go right to page 2 of the agenda. We have nothing on second reading tonight, so we'll move right on to page 2. First reading, ordinance number 2021-145. It's an ordinance approving the hiring of Ronald McKinley as service director for the City of Independence. And of course, Ron's been a service director for, at least 2 months now or so, but 4 months. My goodness, time flies. But this is a formality that we should have done back a few months ago.
Charter responsibility.
I see.
I really wanted the council to have a chance to really work with him for a while before he had a chance to vote on it. Just kidding.
He's hit the floor running. And so.
She laughing?
Yes. Yes. Got a new chief there. Glad we already took care of that.
Very good. Well, this this, Ron will take care of the formality this evening of this. I suppose this, supposes to be on a consent agenda. Very good.
I think we got Ron's resume when he was first hired.
Yeah, Ron's even been through a few meetings we've had him here today, so keep up the great work, Ron.
Yeah, 4 months on the job.
Yeah. Very good. So now we'll move on to ordinance number 2021-146. And Ryan, it's a good thing you're on the screen here and everything, because it's an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of a 2022 Ford F-250s 4x4 regular cab pickup trucks with plow package for the service department, and for an amount not to exceed $99,920. And I guess just to state that originally this was set, I think we had four of these trucks set from 2022 to 2025, correct. And you're moving up the purchase of two of them to this year.
Correct.
Any further?
Yeah, it's part of restructuring and reorganizing of the service department. We created some working foremen. These foremen need work trucks to be efficient and assist with the city crews. These trucks will allow them to help deliver or pick up job site materials. They can tow trailers and equipment and assist with the snow plowing operations. For example, let's say the chipper goes down on the job site. Instead of the whole crew coming back to the shop to switch out the chipper, the foreman could just run a new chipper out to them so the crew can continue working, which will help minimize our downtime and increase our efficiency on the job site.
Are there any vehicles being retired because of the purchase of these two, or this is going to be an addition to what we already have?
They're an addition for the working foreman. Right now, the one foreman is using a car. It's hard to pick up a 10-foot piece of pipe in a car.
That is for certain. Now, my understanding then, Vern, is that it wasn't part of the five-year plan, but you have enough funds available to cover this purchase?
Correct. This one, the three trailers, and the last one from the rollout containers. And Ron will talk about those purchases from just the practical end. But yes, these three in that 410 capital fund, we do have enough money to fund them right now.
So we don't need to amend the appropriations next month?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I might, Vice Mayor, Ron, when do you anticipate being able to receive and put these in service?
So the production on these trucks starts around November 15th, and there's 28 weeks out, so 7 months still before we even see them.
So these won't be available until next year?
Roughly, yes.
The point I'm trying to make is that all the equipment, the capital equipment we're going to be looking at, have lead times 26, even a year on some of these items looking forward. So we just took delivery on a new tandem that we ordered a year ago. And so with the lead time on buying equipment is going to, we're going to be asking council repeatedly to create some flexibility because of today's challenges when it comes to capital equipment, specifically vehicles. So I just wanted to make sure that we're aware that this isn't the last time you're going to be having a request like this.
Notice the cost too, because in those 4 years, we had $45,000 a year for 4 years, $180,000. It's about 10% more because two of them are running us 100,000. So expect to see that. And what we're telling directors is as we massage the 2022 to 2026 capital plan, look at the cost estimates that were obtained this year, last year, whenever they were initially placed in that plan to see if they're still valid. Because if we're planning 5 years out, we can't plan on today's prices still being there. So I think it's prudent that we plan for price escalation going forward. The worst we could do is come in less than the best we can do.
So then, Mayor, some of these things that we have in a five-year plan might be moved up a year or two because of
the purchase, because we won't receive them necessarily until the year we anticipated receiving under normal circumstances.
So just be aware, we won't need the cash then, but we will need to appropriate the money because we can't place the order as a public sector entity unless we have the money appropriated. So we might have to do more appropriation amendments because of this dynamic out there in the marketplace. The check won't be written until the product is received a year or 2 years out, but we have to show the auditors that when the order was placed, the money was available.
Right. So that's, you're taking that into consideration, if you're meeting with all the department heads, that's a new dynamic.
Every day is a different challenge. It's purchasing, it's timetables, it's price escalators, it's fun and it's challenging.
Thank you, Vern. Any questions from council of Ron or of Vern?
Or Dennis, or even John.
From a purchasing perspective, Vice Mayor, that's the other point is, so there are sometimes we're not receiving information until, like, just-in-time inventory. Now we're just-in-time information. And so we don't necessarily have the luxury of being able to present, you know, information for purchases as readily as we used to be able to. So it's just a moving target in every aspect of it. Quotes, delivery, and then putting in service, everything's just a, I don't have a crystal ball.
And anticipate what things going on, it's going to change dynamically probably in the years ahead, months ahead.
Ron will tell you he's got a meeting Friday with one of the truck manufacturers because a couple truck manufacturers are putting it out there that they're not accepting any more orders and they can't do a delivery to what, Ron, 2023?
Through 2023, yes. Kenworth and Peterbilt said they won't quote any new trucks through the end of 2023. I am meeting with Freightliner and Henderson this Friday just to see if they would entertain more orders.
So what consumers are experiencing and purchasing a new car, we're doing experience a big time, yeah. Yeah. Any further questions? Will this be on the consent for the line? Okay, thank you, Ron, for let's stay there. We got to the next one. You and Don are our two main. Ordinance number 2021-147. That's an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of 3 trailers for the service department to securely store and transport the city's landscaping equipment for an amount not to exceed $28,985. And again, this wasn't in the 5-year plan, but I think, Brian, it's part of your plan as far as protecting these items. So if you'd like to explain.
Absolutely. Thank you. These trailers will be used to store and transport the landscaping equipment throughout the city. Currently, the equipment is stored in the service garage, and we transport it on open flatbed trailers. The trailers will provide secure storage and protection from inclement weather all year round and free up garage space and store more trucks and equipment throughout the year. And that's the main reason we need more trailers, more storage, and to protect the equipment from the inclement weather throughout the year.
Any questions for Ron? We'll put this on the consent agenda for this evening. Kathleen. Yes, Kathleen.
I had more of a comment. I noticed that you put, Ron, that you had 10 bids and only one was returned. You think that's indicative of what we're going through right now, too, with the...
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, I think the bidder is from Florida, to be honest with you. It's the only one that bid it.
Thank you.
Another sign of the thing. So this will be put on the consent agenda. Now we'll move to ordinance number 2021-148. And that's the 2021 annual appropriations ordinance. We're in the floor as you provided as backup here, I think, yesterday.
Yes, hopefully that the bullet points were concise enough and clear enough that it doesn't need 20 minutes of explanation here this evening. It's only the third appropriation amendment this year. We passed the 2021 appropriation ordinance in December of last year. We amended it in April this year, July, and now this is the third time. So not doing too bad overall in the grand scheme of things as far as amending it, trying to just make sure we keep revenues and expenditures lined up. And some of these are due to some ordinances that either on the agenda or were recently passed. And the biggest one is the payoff of the bonds, the $3.6 million that was approved last month. And so when this appropriation ordinance was prepared in December and passed in December of last year, we were not anticipating paying off the this $3.6 million here come December 1. But that's the biggest dollar amount amendment, but council's already affirmed that. And then there's a couple other ones, the Hillside Sidewalk West. Don will talk about that one this evening, and the Brexton Road Bridge project that Don will also talk about, the bridge over 480. And then if you read through some of the details, Maggie picked up a spreadsheet of just the transfers within the general fund, but I think for legislative purposes, it's easier just to understand that an amount was approved for the general and street construction and maintenance repair funds, what we generally consider the operating budget here in Independence, and that dollar amount has not changed since December 2020 in the general fund. It's just the proverbial moving money around to make sure that account groupings don't go negative.
Any questions for the finance director?
Is this just going to be on first reading, or I just got delivered this information like 7 p.m. yesterday. I spreadsheets for a living, but this stuff isn't the easiest to follow. And so having, you know, the finance committee meeting with the finance director to kind of go through this in some level of detail would have been really helpful. You know, again, this is complex stuff. Just arrived not even 24 hours ago, and can't we do better than that?
Well, look, the first two bullet points, I stand by the fact that the $3.6 million council approved that appropriation last month already, so everybody knew about that. And then ordinances 2021, 133, 134, and 136 were also adopted last month, and it was a heads up was given that if those ordinances were approved, that an appropriation amendment would be needed before the end of the year to facilitate those. So anything that you see here tonight really isn't a surprise. The only two really new ones are the additional inspection fees requested by the engineering department for Hillside Road sidewalks and the additional funds requested for the bridge project over 480. It's really not rocket science, but it's council's choice. And I'm going to leave it on first reading. I don't know what else I could say between now and your next council meeting. We beat the paying off the bonds to death. The ordinance is 2021, 133, 134, 136 are already adopted. The council said you could buy these. So I don't know what's going to change between now and whatever the next time we meet.
It probably won't. It's a matter of courtesy between the administrative branch and the legislative branch, and, you know, kind of stringing this sort of stuff on us at the last minute. Council's primary responsibility is the oversight of the money. I mean, administration manages the people and the projects, but we oversee the money. And when you get this stuff less than 24 hours before a meeting, it's just kind of rude and disrespectful to
council's I respect that, but I also push back and just say that it's not a surprise to anybody that throwing on it at the last minute, passing the bond legislation in October and passing those three other ordinances in October when council was given a heads up that an amendment to the appropriation is going to be needed if you firmly adopt these tonight in October. So you're seeing the amendment. It should not be a surprise to anybody. You're going to either see it in November or see it in December.
I think, yeah, Bernie, you kept us posted, I think, even on some of your weekly reports. And so we knew this would be the result. I think back with the previous finance year, we almost every month were changing the, we're amending the appropriations on a monthly basis. So it was a regular, we were used to the routine that, and if that's correct, Maggie, as far as I go. So, Brian, I think in your weekly memos to us, you put us on warning of it's coming, so it's not a surprise. But,
yeah, but I guess, the council doesn't want the weekly, all that narrative. I know we overburden you sometimes with a lot of narrative on finances. Vern does a great job of making sure that we're transparent in terms of how we, where the money's at, where it's going. And so, I mean, we only had just an April, a July, and then November proposed amendment. So it's not like the old, like the previous situation where it was every month we were doing it.
So. Well, I have to reiterate, because I know that we get, you know, weekly report, which we never got before. So we have the information where you have shared with us, you know, on a weekly basis, monthly basis. almost everything as far as the income, the municipal income tax income trends and things of nature. And any in your reports here that if we do approve expenditures, that it's going to be, it's going to take an amendment to the appropriations. So, but it, again, if we put this on first reading and approve it next month, it still will be needed by the end of the year.
Will
the bond payment be okay?
The bond payment will be okay because this is just a formality. I guess if you read the bond legislation, it's not just here in Independence, it's bond legislation anywhere when it's public sector. There's language in there that states council hereby appropriate. So if this was left on first reading today and council did not meet before December 1, we've already put the paperwork in motion to pay that $3.6 million off on 12-1. And so even though technically the appropriations ordinance amendment wouldn't be passed, we could still do that transaction because council did give their authority to do that in the bond legislation that was passed last month.
I guess in deference to Councilman City's request, we could put this on first reading and give an opportunity to review it further and approve this on second reading next month.
Again, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but if it's simple stuff, then let's get it out with the regular agenda packet. Stuff arrived 24 hours ago.
Yeah. And there was this month, you're absolutely correct. This month, as a matter of fact, when we checked on Friday afternoon, there was no agenda, no legislation. It was kind of a mix-up maybe a little bit. So we're going to, hopefully, Mayor, we'll do our best to get that out.
Everybody's human. I mean, they make mistakes. There's not fluidity all the time, but look, it's not going to change anything. Oh. Everybody got the information.
Yes.
I think the bigger picture is, though, that the information is what our ordinances say it's got to be out at least 48 hours ahead of time. We are used to having a week ahead of time, so at least the residents wanted to look at it, and sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. They could call with questions and give feedback about things or come to a meeting. But I think that we should try to get back to that. Maybe we could put that in our council rule for next year. But, you know, at least a week ahead of time shouldn't be a burden on anybody. And I think we understand that there's contracts that come back late, but that's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah, we're still trying to navigate through COVID, and when people have health issues, as you'll hear a little shortly, and so there's got to be some flexibility in all these things. It's not cookie cutter, and there's nothing that's such a nature that it's going to change anything.
No.
So there's goals, and I agree with goals, but form over substance.
I want to thank Debbie and also Dar. I talked to him Friday evening, and I think Debbie within 15 minutes, half hour after I talked to you, everything was up on the website and printed. So again, you know, we're dealing with human beings. We're doing the best we can. So hopefully those will be far and few, you know, few and far between.
Sure.
In the future on that. But
I'll go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, if you prior to this ordinance and in deference to Ken's request and everything, we'll keep this on first reading and you know, vote on it at the December meeting.
Well, you might have a second one then, so we might just be amending this one.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the year. And we usually, most cities do kind of a final cleanup in December anyway. You've got just about all of your revenues in. And even though we only appropriate expenditures, we have to show the County Budget Commission that we're appropriating money that we either got in or should have gotten in. And by December, you've got pretty much most of it. So there could quite likely be another final budget amendment, as well as the temporary 2022 budget for the December meeting. So just giving you a heads up on all of that.
You heard it here first.
And what we might schedule, or maybe have a finance meeting, you know, early December, that just as a prelude.
Sure.
Yeah, so that. So this way it won't be a surprise. We've gone over, and some of our questions will be answered. And prior
try to lay that timetable out too for everybody so that everybody's aware of that timetable, both directors on the inside and council persons on the legislative body.
And I know you did provide us your timetable, going back a couple months, I think, of On that note, I think Dale, you got a question?
Well, like just to kind of, based on what Vern said, it sounds like we're going to need to in December do some final cleaning up anyway, so it might be most appropriate to do that. So.
Yeah, this does put us in a little bit of a bind for some of the general fund accounts. There's at least one grouping that likely will go negative here. As long as it's not negative at the end of the year, we're okay, but we're trying to prevent that from happening before the end of the year. So it's council's choice. I just, as far as this ordinance, it's going to sit here from now until the next meeting in December. There's going to be probably, I'm going to bet, no further discussion about the amendments on this ordinance, but we're going to wait another 30 days to pass it, and it's council's choice.
How well would you say that residents would be informed of these potential changes? In other words, we've been informed, I mean, we're up to speed, but would your typical resident have a good handle on it? Because those are the people we're representing.
Yeah, if they read legislation and they read the newsletter, the post, they know that council passed the $3.6 million bond legislation last month. They know that council passed ordinances 2021, 133, 134, and 136, that those were going to cost money. And then they'll see that you've got the Hillside Sidewalk project on the agenda tonight and the bridge project. Those are the only two new things that council hasn't been made aware of, and the residents as well, and they'll see them tonight. And I think anybody living in the Chestnut Woods subdivision will appreciate the approval of ordinance 2021-149 to make sure the sidewalk project gets done. And then you've got the bridge project over I-480. So I think that the residents can see as much as you can too by reading the legislation that's available online or keeping up with it on the post.
And in addition to that too, Vern, I mean, your reports are posted at the website, and you do keep us informed as far as, I mean, if people religiously read your reports, and that they will be up to date even more than ever before, because I know if you followed the treasurer's or the finance director's reports 2-3 years ago, you know, there weren't any, very little. You were more in the dark back then than you are now, so it's not perfect,
to your point, Vice Mayor, the finance director administration has been very fluid in terms of passing along information throughout the year in terms of, and the residents get the same information, have access to that same information, so. To answer your question, Councilmember Burke, they have access to it if they choose to read it.
So I guess the bottom line is this: are we going to keep this on first reading, or vote on it this evening? I don't know. There's argument both ways. I feel comfortable tonight, but I also understand, you know, the dilemma that some of the council people had as far as getting this information on a timely basis. So.
I do too, and I respect that. I think your comments are well stated, Vice Mayor, that in the past these budget amendments used to come to us every month almost, and all it was said to us was no increase in the operating budget, and we would just adopt them, and that was the extent of the discussion. And I go overboard to give people heads ups, transparent. I'm communicating on my Friday updates. I'm communicating in the legislative updates. I'm sending emails to council, and it's like we get the fourth degree here every time we propose a budget amendment.
Yeah.
It's just a dichotomy from the way it used to be to the way it is now.
Yeah, actually, John would just say, well, we're just moving money around, no change in the budget. You know, we kind of got immune. We got used to it, seeing this amended appropriations on a monthly basis. I think it was a regular.
Well, we're much more transparent now.
Yeah. I guess you just have to. As a member of the public, you just have to read, you know, go to the website, read the finance director's weekly, you know, reports, and then even reports you have for for our meetings that you get, that you'll see if there has to be an amendment to the appropriations, you'll notify us that that's the case for everything. So
I'd simply observe, point out that all those memos and spreadsheets and updates are lovely and nice. This legislation has the force of law, and once we vote and approve it, it's different than a memo. You can't treat this ordinance that's voted on as representative of the public the same as you would a memo or a newspaper article or that stuff. This is a
serious business around this table. It deserves serious time and attention. When you get stuff less than 24 hours before the meeting, that's disingenuous to the process. And that's what upsets me most about this. It's not the what's in it, just the disrespectfulness of the process. And we just have to do better than that.
Well, the four ordinances that were passed in October have the force of law, too. So, and those were passed last month.
Dave?
Yes, Kathleen.
Yeah, I would just like to comment, too. And I also reflect on what the process was previously as to what it is now. Perhaps some of us either don't remember that or weren't here at that time, but we not only get, it's not only the volume of data and information we get, but it's how we get it that I think it's made much more understandable to those of us who don't have the benefit of a financial background. I also think that it has a lot of information that is, I guess, more explanatory. It speaks to the future. It talks about what, you know, it puts us on the path so that as I sit here then and vote on subsequent legislation, I bring that information back to me, and it helps me to say, well, you know, we're looking at this for the future because Vern has already told us that. We're looking at in terms of certain financial situations, and I don't think that we're giving enough credence to that at this point in time. And I don't in any way consider this to be a form of disrespect by our finance director. I think it is a matter of we were aware of these things. And it isn't really a whole lot different than what we had done in the past in terms of the timing, other than that we have a lot more information now as it comes forward. So I respect Councilman Sinek's opinion, but I would certainly say that I would be willing to vote tonight.
Thank you. It probably doesn't matter if it passes 5-2 or 7-0, I mean, as long as we pass. So. What I do understand, like I said, I'm sensitive to the issue of getting this information
out. Let's just hold on. I made my point, and I would hope that as time goes by, that I hope you hear what I'm saying. I'm not attacking you. I just hope you understand what I'm saying. But when we get legislation less than 24 hours before the meeting, it's not good.
I respect what you're saying. If I was in a position this month to have gotten you this a week or two ago, I would have. But in reality, not all of this legislation was prepared then. So we could either do it one or two ways where we just amend it based on past information, and we do that sometimes, or we try to catch up right now where the proposed amendment will assume that the sidewalk project is going to get approved and the Braxton Road Bridge project gets approved. If neither of them do, or one of them does and the other one doesn't, the funds just won't be spent because we're not using it for the purpose that council stated. So. I do everything we can do.
If it happened every month, I would raise an eyebrow. It's the first time it's happened since I think you took
it. They're late. It's later than it should be, but it's the process, and I can't do anything about them at this point. And
I can assure you, everyone's doing the best they can. But this is not cookie cutter stuff. As much as people would like to think of this, there are a lot of dynamics going on in the real world that create some of these challenges for us. We talk about purchasing. We talk about some of the different challenges that we face administratively in terms of trying to be nimble enough, and this is for council's future, be nimble enough to be able to act fast and be able to make quick decisions that keep us competitive, because things are changing on a daily basis. And all you have to do is see what we've gone through in the last couple of years, not take COVID out of it. I mean, you're either going to make good, quick decisions on some of these things, or we're going to get caught up in our underwear, more or less, and we're not going to be able to make decisions fast enough, and we're going to lose opportunities. And that's what we're facing right now, losing opportunities because we spend, you know, the last 20 minutes on a piece of legislation, and we lost our edge. This is a micro element of what we're facing in the big picture. But trust me, if we can't be more nimble in terms of some of these decisions we're going to be making in the future, it's going to cost us, and it's costing us. It's nice to have dialogue, and I respect everyone here and creating your opinion and being part of the narrative. It makes us better. But at some point, you got to stop and make decisions, and that's what we're going to be That's what I'm going to force the envelope a little bit in the future, because we're getting caught up we're catching our tail too much. We're going to miss some of these opportunities, and they don't come back again. I told them, these trains come in the station, you get on it, or you leave the station. And we have competitors all over the place, and on a macro level, and we're going to have to become more nimble as we go in the future. So be prepared is what I'm suggesting.
Well, and if I may, Mr. Mayor, we talk about nimbleness, which is important, as you indicated, but basically, based on the charter of the city, we are responsible for carefully and diligently looking at the various ordinances and the various pieces of legislation that we need to be responsible for. So I hear the nimbleness on one side, but I hear the charter on the other side, and the balance between the two is something that we are responsible for.
Yeah, and based on that, depending on your perspective on things, we'll win or lose. We'll win some or lose some. That's just the way it is today. I mean, that's just what we're dealing with in today's economic times and the challenges. We can't even look over the horizon and see what's anticipated anymore. And that's why I profess to everyone here, including myself, be nimble, be prepared, because I don't know what's around the horizon. We used to be able to predict things. It was so much easier 20 years ago. Today, it's a whole different set of responsibilities and rules. So, but we're going to aggressively put ourselves in a position, as much information out as quickly as possible, and then at some point we're going to call the roll. And that's again why there's seven people in a room, the ultimate decision makers. If it was one or two, we might have a different challenge, but two for sure. One could be left, one could be right. So anyway.
And just to repeat too, that we do have more information than we ever had in the past. So Vern provides us on a weekly basis, and it's timely provided. And in the past, I know we'd get the memo from the finance director, but it says some of the stuff that comes in late like that, that'll be provided, you know, and it's provided to us maybe the day of the meeting. So we've always had that dynamic where information didn't come in until the last second. But like I say, you forewarned us on almost everything that is in this appropriation amendment today. So I guess we will vote on it today, but the point well made as far as the timely delivery of the information. We'll move on to ordinance number 2021-149. Let's see if Don is with us here, Don Ram. It's an ordinance authorizing change order number one to the city general construction engineering and inspection services contract with Quality Control Inspection, Inc., in connection with the Hillside Road Sidewalk Improvements, the West Project. And this is an amount not to exceed $25,000, additionally for a total contract amount of $75,000. Don, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hello, Vice Mayor.
Oh, there you go.
Members of Council.
You look like the Great Oz coming on. Very good. But Don, again, we got your memo. This was, you explained it very well. This is something you'd like to see voted on this evening to keep this project going. I think you said there's about, 9,000 left in the fund, maybe to pay these folks.
Correct, Vice Mayor. Yeah, and looking at the budget, remainder budget, and do apologize for the late submittal of both this ordinance and the following one. If you recall, back in April 13th, we approved the original contract in the amount of $50,000, and at the time, we really kind of said it was for general inspection work. We did have an inclination, though, that it would be spent on this Hillside West project, which at the time we hadn't even taken. So we took the bids, I think, in May or June, awarded the contract in July. The construction contract value, $1.169 million. So in hindsight, looking at the original $50,000 placeholder that was approved for QCI, it really was only a little over 4% of that contract value. It probably was going to be inadequate even out of the gate, as it was established at $50,000. And here we are now, kind of having lived through it and see the numbers as projecting. And we do believe another month worth of work and an additional $25,000 is necessary. And I am just trying to show you there at the last paragraph that even with the 70, additional 25, it's a total of 6.4% of the contract value as was awarded. So in line with the industry standards, in this example, you know, Joy Suburban earlier this year working on the Hillside East sidewalk project, that total dollar value contract was about $645,000. GPD has inspected that contract and to the tune of about $40,000. So when you do that calculation, that's about 6.2% of the contract value for inspection and management services. So it's very, very tight with the 6.4 here that would ultimately be derived if we approved the request.
Weather cooperating, you anticipate this project would get done in the middle of December?
Yeah, we're sure shooting that. We've got the curb, the slip form curb is going to happen, we think, Thursday. Then they got to patch the road for some asphalt widening. And then really it'll be the sweet spot of CAPS's work for concrete, drive aprons, sidewalks. They'll fly pretty quickly with that and then some grading work. So we think substantial completion is doable. We do still need some cooperation from Mother Nature, but we feel like we can get there.
What's the temperature? I mean, I know that it's going to be pretty cold this weekend and everything. What's the temperature it needs to be as far as, you know, the concrete work goes and everything? Does it need to be about 40 or 32 or?
Yeah, for sure above freezing. There are treatments, cold weather protection and modifying the mix of concrete. Yeah, blankets. So we do feel that the scope of the work and the time of the season is conducive.
And the landscaping will be done next spring, everything as far as the finish.
Correct.
Maybe some rough grading, but finish grade, germination, and tree planting will be next year.
I see. Correct. Any questions for Don from council? Kathleen, any questions?
Nope.
Very good. Okay, any opposition to this legislation? We'll put this on the consent agenda. Thank you, Don, and stick around. Okay. The next one's yours, too.
Yeah.
Ordinance number 2021-150 is ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the Brexell Road North Bridge Aesthetics Project for local enhancement upgrades, decorative lighting and fencing, in an amount, additional amount, not to exceed $255,620, and for a total financial commitment by the city of $655,620. And I think you said this is imperative we vote on that this evening because the state of Ohio needs, ODOT needs to have our confirmation that.
Correct, yeah. If I could, if you allow me to share my screen, I can give you some exhibits and help you understand better what this work entails and what it is you're being requested to fund.
Don, is that the City of Independence, is that going to be on the bridge itself, like inlaid there on the side of the bridge?
Yes. And let me fast forward a couple slides. I can get to the meat and potatoes of the design so that we work. This is a culmination of several years worth of coordination and work. This is the design effort that was put up by Osborne Engineering at our direction. It's a very nice Cadillac of branding and fencing and decorative lighting. It the lighting is meant to reflect and be consistent with our street lights that we've been putting decoratively up and down Brexell Road. The branding inset in a form liner construction of the city's name and parapet, and it's going to be a 2-inch depressed indentation and colored. It'll be stained blue, the letters, and these are aluminum, powder coated aluminum symbols. The logo will be blue, dark blue, and then the stars will be gold. It's everything is custom. The fence itself will be a high quality picket with some black vinyl meshing. It's all galvanized steel, powder coated, black, very high end, and the cost reflected, of course. When ODOT refers to, and I'll be referring to, standard basic, so they, ODOT does fund and at 100% ODOT funded basic fencing. So this is a picture of Chestnut Road Bridge. Fencing is just very basic, and this is what ODOT would fund. And when we talk about alternate A1, it's really, or is it AB2 for the fencing, or AB1 rather. It's just very basic, nothing fancy. That is what ODOT would pay for. And we requested, and they did an alternate bid to show you the difference in pricing. So this is, it's a high-end, high-quality bridge, aesthetics and branding. And go ahead.
The fencing that won't rust as early as some of these other you see. I mean, that should last a long time, I would imagine.
And yeah, we.
Because I just got back from Cincinnati a couple weeks ago. I was looking at the bridge just to see what we're getting, and this seems to be the most attractive, where it's in the concrete there. I mean, it's and not on the fence itself, because it's hard to read if you don't have a fence, what, you know, what community you're in. So this here would be beautiful, and then just the stars and the Liberty Bell will be on the fencing.
We're having our professionals fine tune and make sure everything fits into the goal of our branding, and but the independence on the bridge inlay is a definite.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to have my name removed from this piece of legislation.
Okay.
And let me give you a little background information. Just recently had a streets and sidewalks meeting. We have worked on this, we have worked on the aesthetics of this bridge over the past couple of years. You were there, and Tom, you were there, and we spent a good amount of time in the past developing what we believe was the most appropriate way to do this bridge. And we're back at the last minute, and now we're, without the input of the Streets and Sidewalks Committee, we're going to do these changes, and it concerns me.
Well, Councilman Vavirka, there's really not any changes. This is the design that was given to ODOT, and what we didn't know at the time was it would cost. We did plug in capital plan $400,000. I think at the time, a couple years back, we had asked Osborne probably for an estimate, and I probably did not revisit it to increase it over because of inflation over time, and certainly from the climate of costs in the market right now, it certainly wasn't adjusted for that those updates either. So, unfortunately, it's shy by about $255,000 for what we had requested be included. That's, and then unfortunately too, here on Friday, so ODOT opened the bids on Thursday the 28th. We received notice Friday morning. And if you notice too, at the bottom of the email, they're requesting a response by last week, Tuesday. So I feel also that ODOT is a little bit unreasonable in the amount of time they would ask the city to turn around a decision on a project that's been being planned for over 2 or 3 years, particularly, and as I explained to them, with our budget shortfall, that it would be impossible to give them an answer by November 2nd. They'll need at least another week with the hope of having the discussion here at the caucus to be able to put us in a position to provide an answer. And they gave us a week. They said, let us know by noon on Wednesday, the 10th. So I am requesting a formal decision and a vote tonight on this item, because I fear that if not, we'll be just getting the basic elements for which our budget could absorb, for which you'll never have the type of bridge you wanted.
What I think I hear you saying is that basically ODOT is the one that's putting the pressure on us.
Very much so. And I had
at the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think maybe they felt that since we had it budgeted, we gave them the design, they probably it was a real quick pull. But as I explained to the Lori Scarmuzzi here, that because of the funding and exuberant costs, that we would need to make a big decision to add a significant amount of money, over, towards 160% of what the original budget value was, that it would, that we'd need at least a week. Yep, and that's hence the late request for the legislation and the late agenda. It's all because of, unfortunately, in this instance, was out of our control. And you know, typically we open bids, our language says we have 60 days to award a contract. I don't know why ODOT, I feel like they had appeared to have this contract awarded and under construction for the demolition aspects of it, even yet this November and December. And I feel that's what's really driving their request of us to quickly turn it around. But for these things, they would award the job.
Hey, Jimmy, you have a question?
Yes, I've got a couple of quick things. Is this slated to be a 2022 project that they want to demolish? They want to get going quickly here?
Yeah, I believe it's a 10 or 12 month overall construction duration. But okay. I've heard they want to get going even yet this winter.
Understood, okay. And in terms of the, I like the aesthetics. I think it looks good. And we had talked about that at one of the committee hearings, that you provided the aesthetics, and you did. So I appreciate that. That's something we asked that council have the chance to review before we approved it. And I appreciate that you did that. And I know that's not easy to do in a case like this. The last thing is, you know, you've got a very expensive fence there, and it looks like it's chemical coated. Is there any other coatings or anything else we can do to that? Just the way a fence goes on a bridge, I got to think that that's going to have a shorter shelf life. And I just wonder, is there anything else we can spray it with or coat it with that can be, you know, a little extra protection? I think we're putting a strong investment in it, and it looks beautiful aesthetically. And obviously, we hope to prevent people from, you know, getting blown off the bridge. But I'm a little concerned about that, because that particular area, there's a lot of wind. And, just a little worried about that aspect of it. And also on the lighting, we're putting some really beautiful lighting on it, functional lighting, but I just throw that out there. If there's anything else we could do, I'd be willing to take a look at it to protect that investment.
I'm not sure that if they're, I think the specs were of a high quality, the coating, the galvanized. I'm not sure what other steps we could take at this point. Is there anything that you're aware of?
No, and I would defer to ODOT and their consultants, Osborne Engineering, who put these details together, looking out for our best interests and longevity of the investment. But I'm open to other things. Can find.
I would work on.
Yeah, we'll do some more research just to confirm. But this has been in the works for several years, so nothing's changed for the last 2 years. You guys proved everything before, so. It's just a matter of facilitating. Yep, the cost division.
You know, to that.
Go ahead, Dan.
In thinking about this work and some of these elements, and to that very question, Councilman Trakas had asked, there was really no contingency to this $255,000 request, and knowing some of the dynamics and how things can, you know, tweak and things in the during construction can come up. One thing, for instance, I know that the lighting control panel is a feature that most bridges that have lighting have. And normally, if you look at all the ODOT bridge lighting underneath the overpasses, the panel is a very ugly stainless steel cabinet. It's on three pipes, and I believe that that's probably what's going to be put out here. And we typically like with decorative lighting, you like to have a control panel that's very same color. It's ground mounted cabinet. So I don't believe that detail was picked up in this bid, unfortunately. So that's one item I would request an additional 25 or 50,000 contingency to be added to the funding approval, just to accommodate some of these things that we might want to consider. Give us some flexibility.
You're asking?
Yes, for a motion for additional. An amendment, yeah, to the authorization of step 255, request another $50,000.
705 overall.
So you went through 305,620 instead of the 255, then?
Correct.
Correct.
And just for council's information, in the ordinance 2020-148, the annual appropriation ordinance amendment, We did cost out the additional $50,000 already.
Very good. We'll entertain a motion that Donna suggested for an additional $50,000.
So moved.
So moved by Kathleen, a second.
Second.
Second by Chris. Debbie, will you call the roll, please?
Sure. Grindel? Kapuska?
Yes.
Narducci?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Borverka?
Aye.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
So Donna, that has been approved. And that brings the total of $705,620. And I think what we have, is if you're going to spend money like this, you want to make a statement. That's probably the only bridge that we have short of Chestnut, that we can have something. And how many people go by that on a daily basis? A tremendous amount. So that makes a statement about the community when you have something of that nature. Of course, the bridge has been there for years. This is rust. I mean, it's really in, I don't want to say disrepair, but it's not a very attractive entrance to our city coming from the north.
So we talked about self-creating the Cloverleaf there. This is a very important
sure.
First step here.
Yeah, it's consistent with the last phase of the project, so.
And we'll be, Mayor, I think, Mayor, we're going to be finishing that project all the way to Rockside.
That's the goal, yes.
So I think it's consistent with what's there by Rockside Woods North intersection on that and goes right up to Cleaver Ford. So we're right up the bridge, actually. So this will be good.
This project or this was approved by council 2 years ago. So this is just the reality of the bids that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, so, and I think that in the past, the director there, compare that to what we, I don't know, what we paid for the South Pleasant Valley, those two red. Those two red states, and that was a waste of money. I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, we got.
If I drive by them, I wouldn't vote for myself again.
But no, yeah. we got the hoodwinked as far as that goes. So.
We're getting Guide Studios and the rest of them are helping us reinvent ourselves. So the other thing I did, some point,
help us.
I would like to get the utilities to work with us on some of these utility boxes along Rockside Road, and they're just AT&T. I'm going to have a conversation with them because they're not consistent with our goals.
And Eric, I know that it's not being soft track hold, but those big node signs that we have on Rockside, not only, I don't know if any of them are lit at night or maybe just the one at West Creek, but the other ones are dark. I mean, at nighttime, they're worthless. You can't even read what's in the sign as far as what business hotels or that. It's completely dark. And I think if you're going to have that, you should have it lit up. I think just for out of towners, if they want to know where the hotel is located or that, it kind of reaffirms there if the box is lit.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, then, any other questions for Don? He's still up there on the top of the screen. Now, I take it then, Dale, that you're not, you won't vote on this. So we're going to. This will be a regular vote on this legislation, not consent. Okay, thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2021-151. And now we'll get Ron back on here, Don and Ron. It's an ordinance authorizing the purchase of new and repair of existing roll-off containers for the service department in an amount not to exceed $58,319.37. Right now, Ron, I take it from your memo, we're not in compliance with some federal regulations as far as our roll-off container?
That is correct. Currently, the city's roll-off containers do not meet the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration standards, and they pose a safety concern. Some of the containers we can repair, and others are just beyond repair, and they need to be replaced. All the containers need lock systems installed, and Northwest Services will install the lock systems on each box they repair or replace. We still need to do some work on these boxes in-house and convert a few of the truck lock systems with 3/4-inch steel, making all the equipment universal and lockable to meet the Federal Motor Carrier standards. And lastly, winter is the best time to make these repairs because we do not rent out the dumpsters in the winter time. So we could capitalize on the opportunity now to prepare for the spring.
Any questions for Ron here?
So Ron, in the bids, on a 5-yard dumpster and a 10-yard dumpster, there's only like $300 difference. How often do we use the 5-yard dumpsters? I mean, what do you put in a 5-yard dumpster?
We probably rent out the 5-yard dumpsters more than the 10-yard dumpsters to the residents.
Because they're cheaper?
Yeah, cheaper, and they're just a little smaller than 10 yards. They don't usually normally need a 10-yarder. They want the 5-yarders instead. We also deliver mulch in them to the residents.
I'm not saying for the cost of the unit itself.
Uh-huh.
For $300, you're getting double the amount. Even if you charge it for a 5-yard dumpster or split it halfway, the city's saving a ton of money. That's just something.
Let's take a look at that. If it's okay with council, we're going to look at that.
I'd rather see 10-yard dumpsters than 5-yard.
We'll review that, and if it's okay with council, then if we change it up, we'll do that.
Some people have smaller driveways and areas, but then they may want the smaller dumpster.
Yeah, we need flexibility. We need flexibility.
But you're right. I mean, it's a better value for
them. But I've rented a 5. You can't get much in it because you can't go, you're not allowed to go above the sidewalls of it. So then that limits you on how much you can put into it. At least if you have the 10-yarder, so you have the length of it, it's just, you know.
Very good.
Will that change the request to dollar amount in this regard, the size of the?
Not by much. I mean, we're getting 3, so it would be $900 more to go with all 10-yard dumpsters, basically.
Ron, how many 5-yard dumpsters do we currently have?
I'd have to count them up really fast. We have 25 total dumpsters. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, and the rest are 10 yarders?
And 20 yarders, 25 yarders, 30, 40 yarders.
Ron, would you have any opposition to the bigger ones?
Not really, as long as we could get them into the residents, you know, location and other than that.
Council would agree if we can say not to exceed 60,000, it would give us flexibility if we determine that we only really only want 1 5-yarder, maybe more 10-yarders, by not to exceed 60, it gives us that $900 flexibility.
I agree with Councilman Narduzzi's evaluation, but I just think that, you know, I want to make sure it's what our director feels is appropriate for his needs, too. So I like that flexibility. Yep.
You can give somebody a 5-yarder if you have a 10-yarder sitting there, but you can't give them a 5-yarder if you need a 10-yarder. But, yeah, it doesn't work.
Well, then I guess we'll entertain a motion to increase that dollar amount, not exceed 60,000.
Well, it's $300 difference, so if you got...
Is that enough?
Right?
Sure, we got
$300. So it's less than $1,000. You say 60,000, it's 58 now. So
yeah, it's like $1,700 more.
Hey, Ron, one thing to consider, will those 10-yarders go onto those smaller trucks? Those are F-550s that carry the 5-yard dumpster.
No, the 550s are the 5-yard dumpsters only. The 10-yarders have to go on the single axle,
right.
We have to worry about the crack in a driveway.
Right, so you might want to just get the 5-yard dumpsters.
Yeah, good point, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you there, Tom.
Yeah, we use a different truck, a smaller truck, to navigate through some of those tighter areas, so we need that flexibility. That's why.
So we'll keep things as they are.
Let's keep it there. Okay. 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 Catch them.
I was just going to catch.
Very good.
Thanks, Tom, for calling me out there, Mike.
You called me out, too.
Any other questions on the wire wall sandwich?
Hey, don't take offense on me.
For Ron or Tom. Thank you. That's why we have you online here to keep us in place. Any objection to this, or can we put this on the consent agenda? Okay, this will be placed on the consent agenda. And the last piece of legislation is the ordinance number 2021-152. This was kind of a late, I believe. Mayor, you want to keep this on
first reading? We have a public buildings and lands committee meeting, and the goal would be to put it on first reading and refer it to public buildings and lands, and that would be just send us the information and have a couple items need to be cleared up, a fuel pod and then salt. And so I'd prefer if we just leave it on first reading, refer it to public resident. I think you're gonna have to hold a meeting.
Yep.
So when we put that on the agenda.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
I'll read the legislation. Ordinance number 2021-152. This ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a purchase agreement with the state of Ohio Department of Transportation for the purchase of real property located within the city. And it's at 5469 Old Brexel Road. And the amount not to exceed, total amount not to exceed $335,000, which includes $10,000 in the closing and transfer cost. But this will, and you did provide us with the appraisal of the property, and it's more time to review that. So it will be referred to Public Land and Buildings Committee.
Yeah, I appreciate if council would, any questions you want to generate between now and then will help us craft answers for you before the meeting.
Let me throw a couple questions or comments out there, because obviously you mentioned the salt and the gasoline and probably the dumping of waste oil that probably took place on the property. So I guess the biggest question is who has to evaluate, who has to make remittance or take care of that environmental issues. That can become a real expensive issue. I know that we know that from the property on the west side of Brexel Road and the Ohio Station and the Sunoco Station. So I'm very apprehensive of the potential trap that we could fall into. So
I'll confirm that the only tanks were above ground. That's why they have a fuel pod, which they want to take, they may take with them. And so to my knowledge, but I'll confirm there's no underground, there was never any underground storage on the site.
Would they do some bores on that property also? I mean, I'm just throwing that.
We're gonna confirm that there's no underground storage ever on the site. So that'll mitigate some of the questions, but we'll try to get those answers for the other meeting.
Because that would also deal with the salt permeation and
sure.
Ground.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Debbie, we have a miscellaneous business that Ohio Division of Liquor Control, the change of corporate stock ownership. Does that mean that? I don't think we need to vote on it. Just
if there's any issues.
Yes, I thought. You want to handle that now or at the end of the regular meeting? Yeah, is there any issues with that? Is that the Sunoco gas station?
Hillside?
That'd be Hillside, I my understanding.
7103 Brexford Road.
It's actually the liquor store next to the gas station across the street.
Oh, so it's
I was going to say, yes.
So it's the liquor store. Yeah, it's the liquor store then.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Jessica.
Thanks. Okay.
Very good. Here, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Council. We have the regular meeting of Council of November 9th, 2021. Clerk, call the roll.
Grendel.
Here.
Capusta.
Here.
Narduzzi.
Here.
Pinnock.
Here.
Tracus.
Present.
Roverka.
Here.
Walchanowicz.
Here.
Thank you. We have a prayer by Pastor Joy Benton Jones from Independence United Methodist Church.
Good evening.
There we go.
Okay, if you join me in prayer. Gracious and guiding spirit, we gather tonight for gratitude for the gift of this day and for the opportunity to come together as a community in service to the greater good. This is a time of year when we count our many blessings and we recognize that the privilege of living and working in this community is among them. This week, we also honor the veterans among us, worthy men and women who gave their best when they were called upon to serve and protect their country. We pray your blessing upon them for their selfish service in the continual struggle to preserve freedom and justice for all people. We ask that you also bless those gathered tonight, that the time together might be fruitful and purposeful in building up this wider community. With grateful spirits, we pray, amen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And we get to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
All right. Chip's gonna go get it. Sherry, mother.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of council of October 12th, 2021? The special council meeting of October 26th, 2021? The special council meeting of October 29th, 2021? Some move?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And they're adopted. Okay, officials will submit their reports. I'll have mine, I'll say something later. And now we will read, let's see. Start right with the consent agenda, so.
Question.
Yes.
Can I have Debbie read my report, please?
I think Debbie made it, sent us an email that she wanted us to have our reports ready this evening.
We're gonna turn them in now.
Okay, but you wanna read, go ahead.
I request that Debbie reads it for me, plus the lighting.
Okay.
You want all of us to, what is that?
I submitted mine.
What is council, because I have mine here too.
I mean, Dale wants his first, I mean, it could be read.
It's, they're all gonna be read, they're all going in the minutes anyway.
What you read or not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I was a bit fine too, I mean, because it'll be another extra 5 minutes. Five minutes each.
A lot of teams did well, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yep. But, yeah, if, you can read, I agree with Dale, it's also a big thing.
Okay.
Go ahead, Debbie.
All right. The Streets and Sidewalks Committee met September 30th. At the meeting, there was no discussion by the committee about further enhancements on the Brecksville Road Bridge over I-480. Over the past few years, the topic was revisited multiple times. I was taken aback on Monday morning to receive my council packet that included ordinance 2021-150 for additional spending for decorative lighting and fencing. My name and the names of the other two committee members were listed as sponsors of the legislation, yet this was the first time we received this ordinance. Ordinance 2021-148 is for adjustment to the annual appropriations. The Finance Committee last met in February. The only other Finance Committee meeting was last month when the committee voted to recommend paying off $3.6 million of city debt. The Finance Director pointed out in his weekly report that we are facing potential shortfalls in income tax revenue, yet the committee has not discussed these important topics. It's fair to say that rushing out legislation the day before a council meeting provides no time for residents to weigh in on legislation and to express concerns to council members. Much legislation in recent council meetings is shuffled off to the consent agenda for a single vote. City charter speaks to a first and second reading of legislation, but this has not been happening with regularity the past 20 months. Realizing the pandemic has forced upon us a difficult situation, but it is now time to return to appropriate legislative processes. The city has a calendar with deadlines for legislation to be submitted by department heads, reviewed by the administration, written by the legal department, sent back to the administration, posted and printed by council clerk, and delivered to the 7 council members charged to consider carefully each ordinance. Following proper procedures outlined in the charter, can return to the level of transparency we had pre-pandemic. I'm very happy that we are meeting today face-to-face and on the path back to when we will again meet in person in council chambers next month. One of the things most missed was the opportunity provided residents to appear in person to council meetings and take their 3 minutes to bring forward their concerns to our government. Additionally, spirited discussion can take place more easily around the council caucus table. I would like to take a moment to express my gratitude to the 1,295 residents and my team that supported my reelection. I plan to continue to do my best to represent city residents during the next 2 years.
Very good.
So I can't let it go by the wayside. I mean, I talked to Dave last week, and I really don't want to go down this path for the next 2 years. But in all honesty, about the bridge over
4A, we talked about lighting, we talked about fencing, we talked about upgrades. The only thing that we're voting on tonight is the additional cost of those items that we discussed for 2 or 3 years straight. So I don't want it to sound like we're doing something, Dale, that we didn't talk about or you didn't know about. We knew about all that stuff. So all we're talking about is the additional cost from ODOT to perform those services. That's it. We're not talking, we're not trying to hide anything from anybody. So I don't want to go down this path. It's just, it's not good for the city. So I just want the people to know that that's the truth. So we did talk about that. And all we're voting on is the cost.
Mr. Vice Mayor, if I may, I wasn't here 2 years ago. So whoever was the chairman of the committee, Streets and Sidewalks, whoever was on that committee, you voted for this before. So we'll research that and determine what changed is the pricing. But that was based on ODOT's bid document. We didn't control that at all.
Well, we discussed numerous times the exact design.
Yeah.
I prefer what we have here. If we're going to spend money then have something half-assed that we're going to be embarrassed about, like we did on Pleasant Valley.
Right.
I've gone 90 to the border. I've gone 71 to the border and 77. And this is classy. This is what I think you prefer. I commend our engineering firm that designed that.
But we'll research and figure out so that everybody's transparent in terms of communication. But thank you.
Dave?
Yes.
I just would like to make a comment, too, because I think that, and maybe I read into the remarks wrongly, but that aspersions were being cast upon us as council members that we were somehow derelict in our duty because we were using a consent agenda. It was very clearly pointed out to us when we began this process that a consent agenda was a legal and well-founded practice. I know in our own city, our Board of Education has been using it for a number of years, and in no way, shape, or form do I feel that I have done anything less than I would have done previously in researching the legislation, responding to the legislation, and being a fair representative of our residents. I believe actually that we have very spirited discussions within our caucus, and that is what leads us, what the consent agenda does is just the final vote that in no way has taken away from our right to talk or disagree or discuss the issues. Additionally, I think that what we need to understand is that we have the right, as we do, sometimes several of us, to go outside and say we don't want it to go on the consent agenda because we want to perhaps voice our opinion in a different way. So I really do not feel appreciative of the remarks that cast those aspersions upon us who all worked so hard to make this legislative process for our residents.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Okay, approval of the consent agenda items under the consent agenda are considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. Do I have the motion to read the consent agenda? Have one more?
Four more.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2021-145, an ordinance approving the hiring of Ronald McKinley as service director for the City of Independence. Ordinance 2021-146, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of two 2022 Ford F-250 4x4 regular cab pickup trucks with plow package for the service department. Ordinance 2021-147, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of three trailers for the service department to securely store and transport the city's landscaping equipment. Ordinance 2021-149, an ordinance authorizing change order number one to the city's general construction engineering and inspection services contract with Quality Control Inspection, Inc. in connection with the Hillside Road Sidewalk Improvements West project. And ordinance 2021-151, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of new and repair of existing roll-off containers for the service department.
Motion to suspend.
Second. So move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narducci?
Yes.
Sinnet?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca? Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2021-148.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
2021 annual appropriations ordinance.
To suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narducci?
Yes.
Sinnet?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And it's adopted. And we have ordinance 2021-150.
Title only.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing an increase in the amount of funds allocated to the Brecksville Road North Bridge Aesthetics Project for local enhancement upgrades, decorative lighting, and fencing as amended.
To suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Narducci?
Yes.
Sinnet?
Yes.
Tracus?
That was a yes.
Okay. Laverca?
No, in Latin.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
And it's adopted. And we have ordinance 2021-152.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a purchase agreement with the State of Ohio Department of Transportation for the purchase of real property located within the city.
That were made on first reading and be referred to Public Buildings and Lands Committee. We talked about the liquor license. I do see a young gentleman here that I'd like to have from the Boy Scouts. I'd like to recognize him this evening. Would you please stand up and state your name?
Nate.
Late name?
Nate Bernuski.
Okay, Nate. Now, what are you trying to gain? What badge?
Citizenship in, I think, the community.
And are you going to be running for city council or mayor someday?
Probably not.
Can I entice you to be a policeman or a fireman? Maybe? Okay, how about the rec director or service director?
How about mayor?
No, he already said. Well, Nate, thank you for, any questions for us this evening? Well, thank you for taking the time to be here. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Who are you to the military, son?
There you go. There you go. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Is there audience participation?
Well, before the meetings, but this is Rad Libman, so go ahead.
Yeah.
State your name. State your name. Okay.
Okay, last year, I sent a question to council and the mayor about veterans and having flags put on the veterans' grave sites at the cemetery, Maple Shade. And you all agreed at that time that you would do it. Is it still in the plans that you'll do it this year?
You know what? I'll talk to the service director if it's possible by all means. Okay? If not, if we don't do it individually, we'll do it in some form to pay our respects.
We also have great reads across.
Right, we just have great reads across America. So thank you for reminding us. Thank you. Any other questions? Anyone else? With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Hey, Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Yes.
See ya.
Pardon me?
Recording stopped.
All right.
I like Gallo, except for the bastard steering.